1 Kings chapter 18, verses 20 onwards. So Ahab sent for all the children of Israel and gathered the prophets together on Mount Carmel. And Elijah came to all the people and said, "How long will you falter between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. But if Baal, follow him." But the people answered him not a word. Then Elijah said to the people, "I alone am left a prophet of the Lord, but Baal's prophets are 450 men. Therefore, let them give us two bowls, and let them choose one bowl for themselves, cut it in pieces, and lay it on the wood, but put no fire under it. And I will prepare the other bowl, and lay it on the wood, but put no fire under it. Then you call on the name of your gods, and I will call on the name of the Lord. And the God who answers by fire, he is God." So what is he saying here? You're going to call on the name of your God. I'm going to call on the name of my God. And the God who answers by fire is the real God. Now, there's a test that has been presented here. So all the people answered and said, "It is well spoken." Now, you see, when they're actually talking, they were talking before. Now they're talking. Now, Elijah said to the prophets of Baal, "Choose one bowl for yourselves and prepare it first. For you are many, and call on the name of your God, but put no fire under it." So we're going to stop right here, and I'm going to go right back to where we began, which is verse 20. Ahab and Elijah are talking, and God told Elijah to tell something very specific to Ahab in order to reveal to the children of Israel that God is the Lord. Even though these are children of Israel, these are not Babylonians, these are Israelite people who were rescued from Egypt, brought out of Egypt into the promised land, but who have turned away from the living God and have followed the gods of Canaan. They became Baal worshippers and they completely turned their hearts away from the living God. Now, when you look at such a tragic thing that happens in the kingdom of God, because the kingdom of Israel is supposed to be the kingdom of God where God dwells. The kingdom of Israel is supposed to be a kingdom of priests, covenant making or under covenant people. But they broke everything at this point. They are in spiritual adultery. They're completely away from God, gone totally. And God, in his mercy, he's using this man of God, the prophet of God, Elijah, instead of wiping them out in anger, he's extending his mercy towards these wayward children who have forgotten the Father God. So Ahab, after hearing from Elijah, he's actually doing this. What is he doing? He is sending for all the children of Israel and the prophets, all of them, to gather on top of the mountain, Mount Carmel. And Elijah came to all the people and said, "How long are you going to be walking between two opinions? You know, if God be God, serve him. If Baal be Baal, serve him. Make up your minds." And these people are not saying anything. Nothing came out of their mouths. Imagine how God would have felt. Imagine how the prophet of God would have felt. They are in such a terrible state. If you really look at it, the state in which we are living before the return of the Lord Jesus Christ all over the world is very similar to how the children of Israel were living. They call themselves Israelites. They call themselves the people of God. They call themselves the descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, but they are worshiping Baal. They have come to the point where they bring Baal into the church and they worship Baal. World has crept into the church. And you have Ahab and Jezebel ruling many churches. And you have all the people going there worshiping Baal and calling themselves Israelites. Utter confusion. Laodicean church. Similar to the children of Israel living during the time of Ahab, where they're neither hot nor cold. And Elijah is calling out here, be hot or cold. How long are you going to be lukewarm? That's what he's saying here. And now there is a test that's given by God through the man of God. And he comes and says, "We're going to do this. God who answers by fire is the real God. Now, if Elijah would have just gotten up and he said, I'm going to do something, then nothing would happen. But Elijah is a man of God. When I say man of God, a prophet of God who hears from God and who speaks for God from the mouth of God to the mouth of the prophet to the people, the news needed to go. And he was there and he's talking to the people. They don't say anything. And Elijah is talking again. He's saying, I'm the only one who's here. Now, all of you, you have 400 prophets of Baal. Bring them all. And you do what you have to do, you know, preparing for the sacrifice. Get that bowl, do whatever you have to do and put it there. And you cry out to your God. Let him come and answer by fire. Once he comes, and then I will take care of what I need to take care of. So he is giving them plenty of time to do what they have to do so that the people of Israel can know, you know what? We thought we had God on our side. There's no God here. Miracles and signs and wonders are essential because they confirm the word of God. The ministry that doesn't have signs and wonders and is just talking and yapping cannot really function in the real world. Baal and Baal worshippers can actually show something. But when the church is dead and it is fast asleep, then Satan can do a lot more. Let me tell you, a mouse that is alive is better than a sleeping lion that is almost dead. God is looking for people who have integrity, faith, and love. People who would really hold on to the truth, who would move in the spirit and show this generation that Jesus is Lord. But if people in the church are playing harlot, if people in the church are just like the world, where the world is in the church, church is not in the world, world itself is in the church. It is living a state of spiritual depth, deadness. And as the Bible says, they bring in what the heathen from outside and make them, what, seven times worse than the heathen? May God help us. Why all the mission trips and why all the missions when there's adultery, fornication, drunkenness, immorality, divorce, disease, disaster, addiction? All those things going around right there. That's one sick place. That's how the children of Israel were. Human sacrifice. That's all. Oh, don't judge me. I can have 10 abortions. Don't judge me. I'm a woman of God. Not me. Many people are like that. You have no right to say anything. You have no right to say anything. I can live in adultery. You have no right to say. I can be a drug addict. You have no right to say. I can smoke and drink. You have no right to say. Don't say. Don't judge me. I can come to church and I can do whatever I want to do. Don't say a word. God is looking at the church at large and every single one of you who's here, asking the same question that he asked through the prophet of God, Elijah. He's asking you today. Are you on the Lord's side? Whose side are you on, by the way? Which side do you represent? When someone looks at you, the way you talk, the way you live, the way you walk, the way you believe, and the way you conduct yourself, will they look at you and say, wow, I see Jesus all over you? Or will they say, oh, you represent this? May God speak to our hearts today. What kind of a spirit is ruling and reigning over our lives? Think about that. We want to represent God and God alone. We need to represent God and God alone. Now Elijah said to the people, I alone am left a prophet of the Lord, but Baal's prophets are 450 men. How many people? 450 men of Baal's prophets, more than 400 people. Elijah is one person. Let me tell you, one holy person is enough 450 weak Christians, false prophets, cannot do anything when they come and stand before the living God. They would have put on a show before. Satan will always steal, kill, and destroy. He can never give anything. Satan cannot give anything. Whatever he tries to give is an illusion. It's never a reality. You'll feel like, oh, I'm getting it. And as you keep getting closer, you know, it's not going to be there. And that's how it is, whether it's drugs or alcohol, immorality, you know, whatever it is. It'll promise you satisfaction, but it never satisfies. You just want to get more and more and more because it's not satisfying. It's an illusion. But God gives the real thing. God gives the real peace. God gives the real joy. God gives the, you know, real satisfaction, you know, in marriage, in children, in ministry, in, you know, health, whatever it is. God gives the real satisfaction. God gives the real deal all the time. So over here, these people knew how to bring evil spirits down. That's the whole point. They knew, you know, when they cry and when they dance and when they chant and do certain things, demons will come and put on a show. They'll come and do whatever. But not when God is there. That's the key. When God comes and says, no show today, that's it. They cannot put on a show. I want to tell you this. When God sent Moses to Egypt, and he told Moses, Moses, when you go to Pharaoh, you put your rod down. You know, like how you just did it, and it turned into a serpent. Do the same thing when you go, and he will believe you that I sent to you. And if he asks you who sent you to me, tell them in I am who I am. And God says all those things, and he sends Moses. Imagine how Moses would have went there. Moses would have thought, you know what, I have two signs. I'm going to go there, and once I go and do this, Pharaoh is going to get scared, and the Pharaoh is going to release the children of Israel. God never tells everything right away, and thankful to God for that. People get a news, and that's it. They think that's the full picture. By the way, if you think that that's the full picture, you don't know God yet. God will always give a little at a time because he knows how little we are and we cannot handle a big package. So he gives a little at a time and he causes our faith to grow because the faith is our hands. Depending on how strong our faith is, how big our assignment or our gift that God is going to give in order for us to be able to hold. Now, when I say faith, I talk about active faith, faith that will show itself in work, in obedience to God, God's word. So Moses went there and Moses would have thought, oh, I'm going to do this and that's it. I'm going to take the children of Israel. And God said, we're going to go to Canaan and we're going to be done in no time. Moses didn't know what a headache he was going to face from the people and from Pharaoh. That is real ministry. Real ministry is not child's play. Real ministry is not like, okay, I'm going to go. Facing Pharaoh itself is a huge thing for Moses because Moses came out of Egypt and Moses knew everything about Pharaoh's palace. He knew those people really well. And he came out of that place. Now, going and facing them is a big thing, but he's going with his confidence because God has anointed him. God is sending him and he's going because God told him to go. He had the promise of God and he knew, okay, this is going to happen. But beyond that, he had no idea what he was going to face. He went there and he dropped that rod. Guess what? Pharaoh said, oh, you did that. My people should be able to do something called the magicians. And they all dropped their rod and their rods turned into serpent too. You know why? Because God gave permission. If God said, oh, no show today, then their rods wouldn't have turned into serpents. So God let it happen. God is watching on. He said, okay, y'all threw all of your stuff. Okay, let's see. Because he knows that his power is greater. This is where the glory of the Lord is revealed, where Moses would have been surprised. Imagine how Moses would have felt. He drops, just saying one snake is enough. Now, you throw that and your rod became a serpent. And he already saw that, you know, when God showed him. Now, all these fellows, they all throw theirs and you have a whole bunch of snakes. Oh, my goodness. What a sight. Horrible. They all put it. But now, Moses is standing there with the anointing of God. That's the difference. This is Moses after he received the anointing of God. He's standing there. You don't see Moses getting, oh my God, I am God here. All these people are throwing theirs now. Pharaoh is going to come after me, and you don't see him running out the exit. No. He's standing there as a man of God, anointed by the Lord as a leader God has sent. So he had more power than Pharaoh did, and all the magicians put together. His serpent swallowed all the rest of the serpents. Imagine what kind of serpent that would have been. Imagine the power. How many of them came there? But this overcame all of that. Where did they all go? In a matter of no time, Moses' anointing spoke for itself. God endorsing Moses in front of all of them. All of them saw, oh, his power is greater than our power. There's something God wanted to show the Egyptians. He could have just not let the rods turn into serpents or snakes, but he allowed it to show that this rod is superior than all that you have. God did that in that case. But when it came to Mount Carmel, where Elijah and the rest of the people were, God determined that day, no show. No show. Do all you want. Other days you would have jumped up and down. You'd have said, you know, whatever slogan. You'd have said this and that, and all kinds of things happened. But today, not on the Mount of the Lord. Not on the Mount of the Lord. Not on the Mount of the Lord, God said. So understand this. As a child of God, whatever may happen in your life, if you are under the sovereign will of God, no matter what the enemy tries to do, unless God gives permission, it's not going to happen. If he gave permission, all of a sudden, all the rods are turning into snakes and something is happening, a big drama is going on, you can stay calm and watch the show and ask the Lord, Lord, what are you going to do in this? Sometimes God will speak, sometimes he'll just say, just watch. It is so important to follow the leading of the Holy Spirit. Be still and know that I am God, God said. It is so important for us to just be still and follow God. Not say, oh God, follow me, show me, Lord, this is what I think is best. And you know, there are people like that. Before God could do something, they'll already have a big plan, and you know, they'll draw everything, write everything and put it before God and say, let my will be done, oh God, on earth as it is in heaven. Oh wow. That's not how we pray. That's not what Jesus taught us. It's very dangerous. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not unto your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him. He shall direct your path. When you trust in him with all your heart and not lean unto your own understanding. You cannot do both at the same time. And there are people who say, I trust God. But you know what? They'll be having a plan B, plan C, plan D. This doesn't work this. This doesn't work this. Oh, really? God will not do anything in such a case, because he'll say, you already have plan B. Why do you need me? You already have plan C. Why do you need me? God will say. Miracles are for those who would step back and let God be God in their lives. Write this down. Miracles are those who would step back and let God be God in their lives. That means we should be willing to let the Lord lead, and we follow him by obeying what God is telling us to do every step of the way. I'm going to finish in a few minutes, but let's read a few more verses and then we're going to finish off for tonight. Therefore, let them give us two bowls, and let them choose one bowl for themselves, cut it in pieces and lay it on the wood, but put no fire under it. And I'll prepare the other bowl and lay it on the wood, but put no fire under it. Then you call on the name of your gods, and I will call on the name of the Lord, and the God who answers by fire, he is God. So he's very clearly said, the God who answers by fire, he is God. So you call on your God, I'll call on the name of my God, and whichever God answers by fire, he's the real God. So he said, you're going to sacrifice that bull and you're going to put it on the altar, and I'm going to do the same thing, but you're not going to put any fire. The fire has to come from heaven, and that's what is going to show who the real God is. So their people were ready for it. Imagine this. If nothing was happening on their side, they wouldn't be ready for such a challenge. They were ready for it because they knew that Baal would answer by fire. That's what they thought. They really thought that. Because they really thought that, they were serious about it. You know why? Because every time they chanted, every time they did something, evil spirits would show up. Not this day. Not on the mountain of the Lord. Not when it's God's time. So whatever happens in your life, when God says a no, nothing can happen beyond that no. If he says, yes, it shall happen, then it shall happen. No force can stop it from happening. So understand this. All things work together for good to them that love God and are called according to his purposes. Everything. The question is, are we walking according to his will? Are we in the divine plan of God? Are we doing what God has told us to do? Are we following through with every counsel that God has given to us? Or are we doing our own thing, relying on our own understanding? We have to ask ourselves that question. See, we cannot do something wrong and get a punishment from God and then say that, oh, you know what? God worked this thing for my good. No. It is very important for us to obey God, follow him 100%. And then when something happens, we know this is for something far glorious. God is turning something around. God is doing something. I don't have to worry about it. So if you're walking with God, then there's no need to worry at all. So these people were confident. They said, you know what? Just like how we did a show last time, we're going to do a show, another show again today. Baal is going to show up. The evil spirits are going to show up. You know, the witch and, you know, whoever were there, they're all very confident. You know, we can do this because they've done it. When God comes to the scene, no power on earth, no power in heaven can actually reveal itself and manifest itself unless God gives permission. So let's just go for a few more verses. So all the people answered and said, it is well spoken, as if these people were heathen people. See, if these people were Babylonian people or the Canaanite people, it's different. They can say, well spoken, we don't know who God is, so let's see which God answers by fire. What a shame, what a pity. These are the people of God, gone far away from God. It's come to this point that only if fire come from heaven, they will believe that Jehovah is God. You know how sad God would have felt, but he said, at least by this, I hope they will turn to me. This is a God. If he thinks he can destroy everybody in less than a nanosecond, but look how gracious he is. Slow to anger, plenteous in mercy. That's why when he judges people, it's going to be really, really, really bad. It's going to be really, really unbearable. You know why? Because his patience was for so long. Having loved them to the very end, he gave himself to us. And then when we reject him, what's going to happen? That's why hell is existing. We must understand. We shouldn't wait to see something in order to believe God. We need to believe God even before we see something. Because he's real. He's done so many miracles before. We need to trust him with all our hearts. So they took the bull which was given, verse 26, given them, and they prepared it and called on the name of Baal from morning even till noon, saying, O Baal, hear us. But there was no voice, no one answered. Then they leaped about the altar which they had made. And so it was at noon that Elijah mocked them and said, cry out, cry aloud, for he is a god. Either he is meditating, or he is busy, or he is on a journey, or perhaps he is sleeping and must be awakened. So they cried aloud and cut themselves, as was their custom, with knives and lances until blood gushed out on them. Oh, what's happening here? These people are calling out and calling out and calling. So what happened? We used to use the same chant. We used to use the same words. And these evil spirits used to show up. What happened now? What happened? Nobody's showing up. God said, no show today. God is God. God put an end to all of their works of darkness. So from the morning till noon, they're crying out, oh, Baal, hear us, Baal, hear us. They're crying out. Oh, what's happening? Nothing is happening. what they do next, they cut themselves until blood came out to understand self-mutilation, any form of self-mutilation, cutting and all those things is demonic. It is from the devil. Satan likes to see blood. And so when people cut themselves, they open themselves over to demon possession to understand. That's why people who get possessed with these kinds of spirits will cut themselves, will open their skin so that Satan can see that blood. He gets gratified by it. And Satan is never going to be, oh, I see blood and that's it. No, he'll make them do more and more and more because it's an evil spirit that gets into a person causing them to do that. They need deliverance. And so you see this happening here that they are actually cutting themselves. What are they trying to do? They're cutting themselves hoping that it will attract the demons because they get attracted to that. See, Jesus came, he gave his blood for us. Satan will come and take the blood from you. Jesus came and he gave his blood for you. That's the difference. He gave his life. Satan will come to take life because he comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Jesus said, I came to give life and life more abundantly. That's the difference. God gives, Satan takes. So, after all of this, midday was passed. They prophesied until the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice, but there was no voice. No one answered. No one paid attention. What were they prophesying, all these prophets? What were they prophesying? What is prophecy? Prophecy is something that comes as a result of the Holy Spirit or the evil spirit. Now, prophecy from God is through God's spirit. Prophecy from the devil is through the evil spirits. So the prophecy from God will lead a person closer to God and it will come to pass. Prophecy from the devil will lead a person away from the Lord, and sometimes it can come to pass also because Satan will lie and Satan will also cause some things to happen in order for people to believe in the devil. The difference is one will lead you towards God and the other one will lead you away from God. And that's what God said in his word. You have two signs, not just, you know, if the prophecy comes to pass, you know, he's a real prophet of God or a prophetess of God. No, it has to be two things combined together. One is it has to come to pass. Two is they will lead you towards God, towards the word of God, that your nature will change. Everything will change and go towards holiness. But when it is not of God, you can have prophecy. Some of them may even look like it's coming to pass because Satan will do, you know, he does false miracles. When I say false miracles, sometimes it really happens. That's what a miracle is. But it's not that all the miracles he does is real. No, it'll always be some false with something true. So that's how it is. He will give a little bit of truth with a lot of lies in it. And that's what counterfeit is. And so he will give something like, oh, as if he said, oh, you know, you're tomorrow, you know, somebody's going to die or somebody's going to get a job and they can get it, because he would actually say it and have that, you know, come to pass. But then after that, 3-4 things, you know, will go downhill. And also the main thing is he will turn their hearts away from the living God. With it, spiritual dullness will come. The materialism will come. Worry will come. Anxiety will come. A lot of other things will come along with it. So when God's word comes from a real prophet of God, it will come to pass. It'll accompany signers and it'll lead them closer to God. That's the mark. You know, it's not like prophet so-and-so and prophet is so-and-so. And then, you know, a lot of hype and jumping up and down and leading them away from the living God, which is like, you know, a lot of hype, but no word. Nobody's life is being changed. Nobody's become holy. Nobody's leaving anything. It's just coming week after week after week and saying, oh, we saw this, we saw that, we saw that. Everybody's rolling and jumping and then going back home, watching same TV show, you know, doing the same thing and going, fighting with their mothers and fighting with their, you know, daughters. And life is still the same. Same stink is still there. And now this is what happened to these people. They cried out, midday is past. They prophesied and nothing is happening because all the demons were banned from that area. Because God said, no show today. And then Elijah said to all the people, come near to me. So all the people came near to him and he repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down. You know what a sad sight that is? The altar of the Lord was broken down. Nobody did anything about it. The altar of the Lord was broken down. Nobody did anything about it. the man of God comes there and he comes and he repairs. It's the first thing he did. He repaired the altar that was broken. God is speaking to your hearts today. Every home should have an altar. Not like a physical thing, but a prayer time. Family prayer time. Personal prayer time. You need to have that. If you're couples, you need to have couples prayer time. You need to do that. You need to have family prayer, prayer with your spouse, and personal prayer time. You need to have that. If any of these altars are broken, fix that first. Make sure you go back to basics. Start doing that. The altar has to be repaired. You need to get back to your prayer life. You need to get back to your family prayer life. You need to get back to what you need to be doing before God. That altar needs to be repaired. That's what Elijah did. He first repaired that altar. See, without doing that, our praises, you know, our whatever we're doing is really not going to get to God. You can't offer it on a broken altar. You need to fix that which is broken in your life. Then Elijah took 12 stones according to the number of the tribes of the sons of Jacob to whom the word of the Lord had come, saying, Israel shall be your name. Then with the stones he built an altar in the name of the Lord, and he made a trench around the altar large enough to hold 2 shares of seed. And he put the wood in order, cut the bull in pieces, and laid it on the wood and said, fill 4 water pots with water and pour it on the burnt sacrifice and on the wood. And then he said, do it a second time. And they did it a second time. And he said, do it a third time. And they did it a third time. So the water ran all around the altar. And he also filled the trench with water. And it came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice, Elijah the prophet came near and said, what a glorious sight it is. What a glorious sight. He built the altar, he offered the bull over there, you know, and then he poured water on it. Why? He wanted the people to know, in spite of all the water and the dampness that is there, the fire of God is so powerful. Look what God is going to do. A man of God, full of the faith of God, a prophet of God, not doing his own thing, being fully led by the Holy Spirit. God is leading him to do certain things because he wanted the people to see. That's why he said, come near and see. Come near and see. The heart of God is to turn the heart of the disobedient to the Father. To what length God is going, you see? What a loving God we have. To what length God is going. Causing him to see, look what I'm doing. And after he did that, Elijah said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let it be known this day that you are God in Israel, and I'm your servant, that I've done all these things at your word. Hear me, O Lord. Hear me that this people may know that you are the Lord God and that you have turned their hearts back to you again. What a beautiful prayer he prayed. He said, Lord, let them know that you are God and I'm your servant. Let them know this. Because only then they're going to listen to his words. Let the fear of the Lord come for the Lord and for the servant of God. Only then they're going to honor the word that is coming from God through the servant of God. He said, Lord, I've done everything according to your word. See, Elijah was not doing his own thing. He did everything according to the word of God. Now, when he prayed this prayer, you see, the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt offering, burnt sacrifice, and the wood, and the stones, and the dust, and it licked up the water that was in the trench. Now, when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces, and they said, the Lord, he is God. The Lord, he is God. And Elijah said to them, seize the prophets of Baal. Do not let one of them escape. So they seized them. And Elijah brought them down to the brook Kidron and executed them there. And after that, you will see that the drought comes to an end. Sin blocks the blessing of God. Reconciliation with God is number one. In order for reconciliation with God needs to take place, repentance is essential. If repentance is precursor to any kind of forgiveness that needs to come from God and any kind of blessing that would follow after that. Repentance is very important. And so in order for them to repent, they need to come to a point where they say, the Lord is a God. He is the Lord and we're choosing him. And what do they have to do? They have to go against the Baal worship. They have to go against the priests that actually had them do that Baal worship and destroy all of that. Then the drought came to an end. God is speaking to our hearts today. What do you think about Jesus? Who is he to you? Whatever may be happening in your life, that drought needs to come to an end. And there are certain things you have to do. Look at your life and see where you need to set right everything. The drought will come to an end at that point. God wants to use his people. But just as his heart was aching and yearning for the wayward children who were in Israel but worshiping Baal, God's heart is yearning for many, many, many people that are all over the world calling themselves Christians, but they're worshiping Satan. Satan worship is taking place in many churches in the name of worshiping Christ. They're worshiping materialism, worshiping sin, worshiping wickedness in the name of Christ. God is looking for people who really leave Baal worship and come to the true God. In order for that to happen, repentance needs to take place. See, only if you have customers, you will have a market for that product. If you have people not buying a product, then you're not going to actually have manufacturers manufacturing that product. The Baal worshippers had the priest there because you had the people worshipping Baal. Now, once the people turn to the living God and they bring an end to the priest, their hearts turn to the living God until they turn away from God and then go find for themselves Baal worshippers and Baal priests. God is speaking to your hearts today. Whatever might have happened in your life, whatever you may have done, may not have done, today is a new day. You have to look at yourself and say, Lord, God is my Lord and he is the only one I'm going to follow. Yesterday, the Lord spoke to us how to seek the Lord, how to seek his kingdom, how to follow him, how to worship him, how to really seek him like never before so that we can find him. God is speaking to us today. You have that experience of Mount Carmel, where you really come to a place where you're saying that God is the Lord. So what are you going to do next? If God is the Lord, are you going to leave the Baal altars and Baal priests and whatever old things in life just stay there? Or are you going to bring an end to those things? God is speaking to your hearts today. Whatever the Lord says, do it with all your heart. Do it with all your heart. Do it with all your heart. Let God and God alone be your God. God will do great mighty things in your life. God is looking for people whose heart will be loyal towards him. Turn to God with everything that is within you. God is looking for loyal believers who would be loyal to God the Father and say, Lord, I'm not going to be like the heathen. I'm not going to go after the things of the world. I'm not going to go after materialism. I'm not going to worship money. I'm not going to worship women. I'm not going to worship alcohol. I'm not going to worship cigarettes. I'm not going to worship anything that God says no. It is not good for you. And you do it. You're worshiping that. Understand that. Lord, I'm not going to worship any of those things. I'm going to worship you. What is your Baal? What is sitting at your altar? How is the altar of the Lord? When was the last time you really, really, really prayed? When was the last time you really, really, really read his word? When was the last time you really sought him with all your heart? God is speaking to your hearts today. Take this very seriously and tell the Lord, Lord, I'm seeking you, but I want to seek you like never before. Lord, I see all these things that are happening here. But I want to be somebody on that Mount Carmel, used by you turning the hearts of the children to the Father. In order for that to happen, I need to be somebody who put away every form of Baal out of my life. I don't want to have any Baal, any creature. Nothing should be there. Nothing should replace my God. Whatever altar needs to be fixed. Whatever altar, God's altar that needs to be fixed in your life. Tell yourself, God, I'm going to repair that. I'm going to take care of that. I'm going to really, really, really work on this, Lord. I'm going to take care of that. You are my all in all. You are my everything. Lord, I'm going to make effort in this area, the very area where it's broken down before you. I'm going to fix this. Shall we close our eyes and look to the Lord? Thank you, Jesus. 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 Praise you, 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 Lord. 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 Thank you, Holy Spirit. Take a few moments in the presence of the Lord. God is looking for mighty warriors. God is raising mighty warriors. Warriors are warriors who will only become warriors when they learn to take orders from the captain. Only the obedience can really be warriors in the kingdom of God. God is looking for people whose hearts are loyal towards Him. Thank you, Jesus. Whatever in your life you need to be put away, even if it's a small thing, never think that it's a small thing. It's only a small thing. This is not as bad as what the other person is doing. No. No idol should be there in your life. No one who is an idolater is going to enter into the kingdom of God. Nothing should replace Jesus in your life. Nothing should replace your time for Jesus in your life. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, Jesus, 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 Jesus. Thank you, Father. Tell the Lord, Lord, I'm going to love you with all my heart, mind, soul, and strength. On the seventh day of July, the seventh month, Lord, I want to surrender myself to you totally. Tell the Lord, Lord, I surrender myself. I surrender myself totally to you. I just give myself totally to you. I give myself totally to you. Whatever is standing between you and God, it is time for you to get rid of that. Pride, immorality, jealousy, lying, stealing, whatever it is, it's high time you put it away. Take vengeance on that. Once they knew that God is the Lord, then the command was to kill all the Baal priests that kept them from the living God. Once you know God is the Lord, you need to take action over all the things that are keeping you from Jesus Christ. Whatever it is, take action. Be ruthless. Be militant against it. Don't show mercy to sin. Don't show mercy to sin. Thank you, Jesus. Don't show mercy to anything that is destroying your relationship with God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Take a few minutes in the presence of the Lord and tell the Lord, Lord, I give myself as a living sacrifice, holy, holy to you. I lay down my rights and take up my cross. Lord, I'll follow you. In life and in death, I'll only follow you. Not my will, let thine be done. I give my all to you, all to you, Lord. Jesus, I give my all to you. I give my all to you. All to you, Lord. Jesus, I give my all to you. I give my all to you. All to you, Lord. Jesus, I give my all to you. I give my all to you, all to you, Lord. Jesus, I give my all to you. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Father, I thank you, Lord, for your presence that is here. Thank you for your people who are here, gathered together in your name. And thank you, Lord, for touching us, speaking to us, working in us. And I pray that you will continue to work in the hearts of your people. Let each one look at their own lives and see which altar of God that is broken down in their lives that needs to be repaired. And may they do that which is necessary in order to repair that altar of God. Only then we can offer sacrifice on top of that. Only then God will come down and show himself in a powerful way. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Father, thank you, Lord. I give myself over to you. Tell the Lord at this hour. Lord, I give myself over to you. Tell the Lord, Lord, I give myself over to you as a living sacrifice. Lord, whatever altar is broken down, I'm committing myself to repairing that today, Lord. Tell the Lord that. Tell the Lord that. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Work in the hearts of your people, my Father. Work in the hearts of your people, my Father. Work in the hearts of your people, my Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, do great and mighty things. Continue to do greater things in the lives of your people. Thank you for every testimony. Thank you for your word that you have spoken. Lord, you have spoken your truth into the lives of your people. May your truth continue to do great and mighty things, O Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Each and every brother, sister, child who's here on this call today, have a true Mount Carmel experience, O Father. They may leave everything behind and follow you faithfully. And that the Lord God alone be their God. May they not have any idols. Rachel brought the father's idol and she died in the journey. Let nothing like that happen, Lord, to any one of our church people here. Let there be no idol, small idol, big idol, whatever idol there is. May all those be destroyed. And all the prophets of Baal be destroyed in Jesus' name. I pray, Father, may people be strengthened through the power of the Holy Spirit. Go from strength to strength and faith to faith. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Continue to cover your people with your precious blood. Thank you for bringing us to the last day of this fasting prayer. I pray for every brother, every sister, every child who is on this call today. Whatever your people may be going through, oh, Father, I pray that you will lift them up, O Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. May the Spirit of the living God fill your people with garment of praise, O Lord, in the name of Jesus. Fill your people with the garment of praise, O Lord, in the name of Jesus. Fill your people with the garment of praise, O Lord, in the name of Jesus. Fill your people with the garment of praise, O Lord, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. They eat and every brother is a child, Lord, may have their own trumpets, O Lord. O Father, and may they, Lord, Lord, shout, Lord, at the victory of the Almighty God. Thank you, Father. Oh, who delivered them from bondage, O God. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Bless your people. Bless your people. May each learn to praise you with everything that is within them. O Father, may each one learn to be faithful to you, Lord. Each one truly live a life, O Lord, that is God honoring and God glorifying. Protect our church, Lord, from all the snares of the enemy. Protect our church, Lord, from every deceptive spirit. Protect our church, Lord, from every wolf that will come in sheep's clothing. Protect our church, O Lord, from everything that would defile, O Lord, our people. In the name of Jesus, I ask, Lord, for a covering right now in Jesus' name. Over every family, Lord. Over every brother, over every sister, Lord. Over every child, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, O Father. Blood covering of the Lord Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus, be upon our church in Jesus' name. We thank you, Father. We thank you. Continue to glorify Jesus Christ in a mighty way. We give you all the glory, honor, and praise. In Jesus' most precious name I pray. Amen.